and welcome to the Love Meech podcast. I am your host, Meech. There are a billion people in the world, and I'm just one of them. And welcome to my podcast, where I'll share my thoughts, opinions, and ramblings, and sometimes I'll have guests, and no subject is off limits. So let the conversation begin.
Mimi, go Mimi. It's the Meecha podcast. Hey, go Mimi, go Mimi.
Hey, loves, and welcome to another episode of Love Meech Podcast. On today's podcast episode, we are going to be talking about shadow work. And shadow work is not something that you just do once. It's something that you're probably going to do over your whole life. So let's break it down. What is shadow work? And let me just backtrack. I went to Joann's, and they have art section, journal section, pen section. You know, you guys have been. So I went down the notebook section, and they have all types of notebooks for like sketch artists. And I picked up a sketchbook with 110 sheets, and it's blank. So your average artist would draw, but I got three different books. I got one book for my shadow work, and it's black. I have one book for me and my relationship boundaries and love and all that stuff, my manifestation. And then I have a pink one that was pink. And then I have a blue one that's everything about me, my family tree, my zodiacs, my numerology, like every test that you could think of, basically, that's all about me down to the T. Let me see what else I put in there. The chakra work that I do, my worst fears, my vices, just anyways, you get the point. But on this episode, we're talking about shadow work. So in my shadow work, and again, you're not going to finish this overnight. It's going to be a lifelong process. People that sign up for therapy, life coach, different things like that, we all do the same thing. We all find the same workbooks and the same techniques to filter through our childhood. You can either do it on your own with research, or you can go to a professional, or you can go to, you know, like the answers are all there. We're just recycling the energy, and you get the help however you get it. I was working with my spiritual advisor, Sharita, and I remember I was telling you, she was telling me to turn off all the lights, get a black candle, stand in front of the mirror, and just go within. But it be 50 miles. You see how much I talk. My mind is like 20, maybe a million times faster than that. So like, for example, when somebody asks me something, I can have a million ways to answer it. I could, you know, with every emotion, nice, nasty, mean, da, da, da. And I'm looking at you, I'm looking at our relationship, and I'm answering the best way that I, you know, I don't want to hurt you, I don't want to lose you. So sometimes people are like, what? Yeah, I'm thinking of which answer. Like, I know the answer, but how am I going to break it down for you? Because I'm so sensitive, that's probably cancer in me as well. But anyways, so since all of that is going through my mind, I write. And when I was looking through my numerology and my zodiac sign and my mission here on earth and everything I'm supposed to do, it's going to be with talking, which is hello, the podcast, and it's going to be with writing, and it's going to be with learning. So I'm not going to fight my calling anymore. I have the podcast. I'm going to get these books out, and I'm just going to like write. Like, I can't get away from the knowledge and stuff. So, you know, that's my calling. There's no point in fighting it anymore. So here I am. So with shadow work, let's just break it down. Shadow work is the practice of reflecting internally on your shadows, repressed energies, and weaknesses for the purpose of bringing them forward into the light to become whole. It is not a dark or evil process or practice. It's just the opposite. By acknowledging those things that are hidden, you could begin to live your authentic self. So how do you do shadow work? And let me go get my charger, because it looks like the phone can go dead any minute now. Oh, where did I put it? Okay. It's in here. Because I'd be talking, look down, and the damn thing ain't even recording. That has happened a couple times. Okay, so I'm going to give a lot of different examples. I just want to give you everything that I've touched on. I'm going to go over the things that I'm working on and and what I'm excited to work on. So I'm just kind of going through my book. How to do shadow work. Triggers are teachers showing you what needs healing. Start by taking 3 deep belly breaths. And I've been working at a call center forever. And when somebody aggravates me, I'll be like, like, just notice in your life when things are like hectic, you always, that is your body's way of like relieving itself or tension, anxiety, like all of that stuff. So before you even dig deep, go ahead and, you know, give yourself those 3 breaths. Then you want to pause and ask, what am I feeling? We all have feelings. You cry, you get angry, you get sad. You feel these things and you act them out. But have you ever stopped and said, why am I feeling this way? Why am I angry? You know that you're angry. That's something that you know. You feel angry, you punch a wall, like whatever your vice is for being angry, you know that. But why? Why are you feeling angry? You got to break it down. You got to understand yourself. You got to start to understand yourself. So it says, release the ego story. Right now, I am feeling the story that whatever that feeling, whatever gave you that feeling, you're going to break it down. Right now, I am feeling the story that, and insert whatever that is. Then you want to move on. When a person triggers you, you ask, what trait in this person is activating me? So let me see if I can think of a scenario. Oh, I remember. I had my nieces over, the twins, Valor and Haven. And I have glass in my house, no plastic. Plastic is bad. You microwave it, you put hot stuff on it, all those chemicals get in your food, seep in your food, and you wonder why you got all these illnesses later in life. So all glass. And we're supposed to use nature stuff. Ceramic, wood, glass. Like, we just got away from nature. Anything that is not of nature is going to be bad for you at the end of the day. So I'm learning. I just got all stainless steel pots. I got all glass. I just got my water filter for the kitchen. Now I need to replace the water filter for the bathroom because I had it, but it was only good for 3 months. And when I took it off and bought another, I ended up breaking my shower head. And when I bought it again, it didn't fit. And I'm like, oh. But I do notice I have more white stuff, maybe the chemicals on me when I get out of the shower. And it was not like that when I had the filter. Like, it goes through charcoal and all the different beads and stuff before it hits you. And I noticed a difference. It almost was like beach water too. But anyways, he had a glass. It was either a glass cup or glass bowl, maybe a bowl. And whenever done eating, we all were in the kitchen, and I don't know, maybe I was on a stove or something, but when I turned, I heard, bah! And when I turned around, I'm like, the hell, like, glass was everywhere, and I was so mad, but he's only like 2, but I just didn't understand that wasn't his first time having glass, and he didn't break it, and I'm just like, I'm wondering, like, did he just have it in his hands and intentionally drop it, because if he was putting it in a sink, it would have broke in a sink, right? So I don't know. It just like instantly infuriated me. I got the broom and a brush. I started getting all the glass up. So instantly I knew I was mad. So my right now I am feeling the story that I was upset at myself for giving him a glass bowl and he dropped it and now I have to clean it up. But I'm thankful that he didn't get hurt. That's really what that was. And then what trait is this person activating in me? I'm clumsy as well. I break stuff. And I saw someone else do that same thing. And it was like a trigger. Like I used to break mirrors. I used to break everything growing up. I think they called me like clumsy. Like I would just always break stuff. And I remember I broke a mirror too. And you know how they say you have 7 years of bad luck. So for the longest, I was like, man, I have 7 years of bad luck. All of this, and you know, it must be true. Because I keep breaking stuff, keep dropping stuff, like keep spilling stuff. I remember my mom had a... like, they love furniture. We've had so much furniture I can remember growing up. And they've always had this account with bad cards. So, always nice furniture, nice things. And it's good because they end up passing them down. Like, I have their sofa set now. I have her granite TV stand in the living room. So, it's been great because, you know, they get stuff and they pass them down. You know, you get to keep them in the family like an heirloom. So, she had, like, this, I don't know what you call it. It's like maybe you could put different things in. It goes in like the middle of your living room. So you have your sofas, your recliner, everything. Then you have this piece of wood in the middle that you could put pillows in. You could put remotes, like whatever. I don't know what it's called. I really don't know what you would call it. Kind of like a, I know an ottoman is like what you would put your feet on, but it's made of wood. It's a big square. So I don't know if you would call that an ottoman, but I was getting a polish on my nails and I end up spilling the fingernail remover and it messed up the wood. And my mom was so mad. And I'm just like, get another one. Like I always felt like, okay, you know, it was an accident. I didn't mean it intentionally. Let's clean it up. You could always get a new one. It's wood. We probably could have went to Home Depot and bought some damn, you know, refining. You know, they probably had just sealed it with whatever. I just felt like, was just so dramatic. I don't know. My motto growing up was always just get another one. Like, even like a car accident, be thankful you didn't die. Go get another car. Go get a rental. Go turn that in and get a check for the car. Say it's total. Like, I don't know. If it's not like life or death, let that shit go. Like, it's not that serious. I always feel like it's more serious things in the world. So what? I had an accident. I spilled the thing. You know it was an accident. You know I didn't intentionally do it. Why are you tripping so hard? So I don't know. But definitely I be in my feelings when things happen. So I have to let other people be in their feelings too. And not try to shut them down. Because when I be in my feelings, I don't be shutting mine down. So I have to give. I have to treat people the way I want to be treated. So I don't want somebody to be like, he's 2 years old. You don't want to get him a glass. Don't be mad. Just clean the shit off. I wouldn't have liked that. You get what I'm saying? So you have to let people feel their emotions just like you feel yours. So I'm going to continue. Embrace your shadow. Shadows are mirrors reflecting back at you. Your shadows hold all your fears, your mistakes, anxieties, and darkest thoughts. The shadow is the path of a heart warrior. Now remember, my grandma said she was a soldier and I'm a warrior now. I always feel like I have this fighter spirit in me. If I feel that I'm right, I'm going to fight it to the death. Like, because 9 times out of 10, I'm fucking right. And I hate that people don't be understanding that. Like, is you stupid or is you dumb? I heard that saying and I really love it. The girl's like, is you stupid or is you dumb? I'm like, it's really the same thing. That thing cracked me up. Okay, so you can like Google shadow work. You can find shadow work prompts on Pinterest, on Google. People make books. You could write your own questions. You could literally sit down and just think back over your whole life on things that made you mad or sad or just different events and write about how they made you feel. And I'm going to get a little bit more to that because I haven't even finished. I started that part and I think I wanted to turn it into something, but we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. So I did download a shadow book. I even was a part of a group for shadow work because if your shadow is really, really, really dark, and you know what really, really dark would be for you, you might not need to do this on your own. You might need to seek professional help because you may need to have different pills to help you manage those flashbacks and emotions. Because it's really, to me, shadow work is going into the past because you can't tell me when you have a memory and it was sad that you crying. That's to me, that's traveling back in time. You feeling those emotions, you hearing those people's voices. Some people can smell the environment that they was in and you relive that whole event. Right? But shadow work is taking a step back and noticing what happened in this event. Who were the people in the event? How did they make you feel? Were they right? Were they wrong? Were you right? Were you wrong? And just getting a better understanding of it. Because when you're a kid, you don't know shit. You're just a fucking kid. You know, you're trying to figure this whole thing out. But when you're older, you have more experience under your belt. You should be able to go back and analyze those situations. And maybe you'll see that you were wrong in some instances or you were right. It's really just growth. You don't even have to, you know, usually when you start shadow work, you go back to your childhood. But as you continue to live this life, different things are going to happen. And as you grow in your mind and your consciousness and your love and life, as you begin to elevate whatever title you want to go on it, when you have a bigger perspective about it, you should be able to step back and look at it in a different way. If you can't, That just means that you haven't grown yet, because when you grow, you'll be able to do that. If you're still in that same mindset, you're not going to see it any other way. Only when you grow can you say, perhaps, you know what I mean? It could have been handled this way. So you always want to be the one to go back in your life and constantly improve, it can continue to improve yourself, because you'll never be able to expect that from others if you yourself aren't doing it. So you're analyzing, internalizing, and just growing, like self-growth and self-development. Which I always get those books, but I never hit on this yet. And emotions are so strong for me, attitude, anger, like all of that. And so this is where I should have started. But you know, sometimes in your family and your culture, if you all are battling that and nobody has stepped back to say, this is what we need to do to combat it, then you all are kind of like walking around blind and don't know. So I think my sister was the first one to go through therapy. And I remember her going through it, and my mom and my sister. And now I didn't like the therapy that I was in. I felt like the lady just made me cry. But now I see what she was trying to get me to do. When you keep asking why and why and why, you get you dig deeper and deeper and deeper into the answer. Usually when you start a business, they'll say, why do you want to start a business? Whatever answer you give, okay, why is that the answer you give? Whatever the answer you give why. You keep going until you get to the root. Because people usually aren't just straight up. Or they really don't even realize what the root of it is, because we build so much around it. And it's like looking at a tree and going down to the roots and realizing that a little tiny seed made that tree. Which is important, because you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you came from. So I downloaded a book for shadow work, and it was amazing. A lady came up with 25 questions, and I went through them, and I kid you not, y'all, I was like crying and just like, you know, with my mind that I have now, just able to look at the situations different and like, oh my God, you know, it was amazing. It was kind of refreshing and amazing, and to be able to look at things in a different light and to see your growth is beautiful too, because it's like, you know, you're kind of hugging yourself like, oh, I know why you were so sad when that happened. I can completely understand what that situation, how it made you feel. Da, 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 da. So you're giving yourself that hug, but you're also stepping back and saying, well, this probably could have been done this way, or you probably could have did that, or you probably could have did, you know, and it's refreshing. It is. It's refreshing. It's like I've grown, you know. That's kind of like an artist looking back at their first sketches. It's so funny because I wrote in a sketchbook and I'm using that as an example. It's like an artist looking back at their first sketches and seeing how far they've come. Like from drawing little stick people to having murals and probably being this famous artist and selling their art. Like, oh my gosh, to see the beginning and to see where you are now and to see that you still have a future ahead of you. So yeah, let me start with the question. How judged do you tend to feel on a daily basis? Explore how much of that perceived judgment is real and how much is imagined. The second question, take a look at the best and most enjoyable aspect of your life right now. What is your underlying fear in that area and why? Number three, write about the last time you tried to manipulate a situation to your advantage and examine how you feel about that in hindsight. Describe a scenario in which you feel that competition could be healthy and productive. Then describe a scenario in which competition could be toxic and unproductive. Finally, write about your emotional response to this exercise. What does it feel like to have your emotions belittled or downplayed? Be as descriptive as possible and try writing about specific examples from your own life too. Pinpoint something that's really frustrating, upsetting you at the moment. Then try writing an uplifting, beautiful poem about it. Write about the last time you ran away from your responsibilities. Consider why you did that and what the results were. How can you begin to give other people more space and acceptance to be themselves around you? Whereabouts do you tend to expect other people to conform to your beliefs?
And what scares you the most about allowing people to have their own beliefs in that area? What does the term superiority complex bring to mind for you, and why? If you could say one thing to a person who's hurt you the most right now, what would it be and why? Consider yourself at your worst, at a point where all of your most negative and disruptive traits come to the surface. Capture that version of you in your mind. Then write a letter of love, understanding, and compassion to that version of you. For extra credit, read the letter aloud to yourself the next time you feel like you've turned into a bit of a monster. What does the word punishment make you think of right now, and why? Write about the different ways in which people have expressed their anger and resentment in front of you over the last few months. What did you notice about their different modes of expression for these emotions? What's the one thing you know you need to do but keep avoiding? Write it down. Then write a step-by-step description of actually doing it. Include every action which would need to be involved in order to get it done. At the end of the exercise, explore how you feel. When was the last time you witnessed distancing? When was the last time you witnessed distinctly self-destruction behavior, either in yourself or in someone else? Describe it and the emotions you had at the time. What was the last cruel thing you wanted to say to someone in order to make them feel bad about themselves or their actions? Write it down and then explore your feelings about it. Whereabout do you currently feel isolated, and how are you dealing with that emotion? Write about the biggest experience of loss for you so far this year. What do you currently envy in someone else's life, and why? For extra credit, what kinds of emotions come up when you imagine yourself having access to the thing that you envy? On the first line, write out the words, "Insecurity is my teacher." Then fill the rest of the page up with your responses to this sentence. Whatever comes to mind, honey. What does it feel like to be completely discouraged by someone's word? Be descriptive and consider writing about personal experiences of this in your own life. Why is it sometimes difficult to tell the difference between someone saying something intentionally mean and someone saying something accidentally thoughtless? What does the term constructive criticism make you think of, and why? Last one. Which emotion do you tend to deal with in unhelpful, destructive ways? Write about the way you usually deal with this troublesome emotion. Then write about what your life might be like if you dealt with it differently. So I actually did all of those. She gave like a whole page. She wrote this sentence at the top and it was a whole page. And y'all know how I talk. So I was writing up that whole page. And then I wrote about growing up. Some feelings that I had growing up. I wrote a letter to my parents. I wrote a letter of forgiveness for others and for myself. I started going over the map of consciousness. And on each level, I'm going to write about it. So it starts at level 20, which is bad, and then it goes up. And each level has like emotions, levels of emotions to them. So I'm going to take time to do each one of those. And then I also, it's funny, when you research one thing, it kind of takes you to other things. So the map of consciousness reminded me of the chakras as well. And so I kind of put that in my shadow book. There's over 72,000 nadis, which breaks down to 100 billion brain neurons. There's 114 chakras, 7 major chakras, 21 micro chakras, 86 minor macro chakras, and then 112 of those are inside the body and 2 are outside the body. There's this man that actually does a class and gives a certificate about them, and he breaks them down. And to me, it's really going to be your nerves and body parts. Like, hello. It's saying that heart is not just a heart. A heart has feelings, emotions, a mind, blah, blah, blah. So he's probably breaking all of that down because, you know, when you are a scientist, you look at things differently. Like, an artist is going to look at a heart one way. A scientist is going to look at a heart another way. A trainer is going to look at a heart another way. An athlete is going to look at a heart another way. A lover is going to look, you know, so they all have different perspectives of the heart, which are true to that perspective. So I would love to know his perspective from a body point of view of those chakras. And then I'll find, you know, because I'm looking at it more spiritually and emotion-wise. Of course, I have Cancer. Cancer moon. But his class is like $500. I'm like, Lord. But again, like I say over and over again, money means nothing. It's knowledge. A doctor would not make six figures if he didn't have the knowledge of heart surgery. It's not the money. It's knowledge. When you go to school, the first thing the teacher does is give you a syllabus. And what's on that syllabus? Your book list. So literally, the teacher's just guiding you through your studies. I couldn't wait to get to college. I did a lot of my classes. I went in the classroom and I didn't get it. I didn't like, you know, because usually when you learn, you have to find a teacher that teaches your style or you're not going to get it. And that's why throughout elementary, middle school, and high school, some kids have good times, some kids don't, because they may or may not relate with a teacher. And they teach these teachers all these different styles, so I don't know why they don't try to incorporate it. But I guess if you're familiar with one style, maybe that's the style that you could teach the best, I guess. But see how I be getting off? Let's see. Different styles of teaching, the heart. You look at the heart in a different way. Oh, the man. $500 for the class. I'm like, oh my God, that's a lot. But eventually, I am going to take the class because I do want to break down. Most people say, oh, there's seven chakras. No. There's 114. And then he goes over to 72,000 nadis as well. So I can't wait to do that class. And I can't knock him for his price, because it's his knowledge that he's given you. And once he gives it to you, you can take it and go make a whole book and make millions. Who knows? So before you do that, he want to make sure he get his cut. So I get it. You know, I'm not mad. So yeah, shadow work took me to the map of consciousness. It took me to the chakras. And then it took me to my auras, and I didn't know you have your casual body, which means, there's perfection in all life. You have your celestial body, which is unconditional life for all creation. You have your etheric temple, which is a sense of truth and purpose. You have your astral body, which is unconditional love for others. You have your mental body, which is creating small positive thought forms. You have your emotional body, which is unconditional love for oneself. You have your etheric body, which is physical strength and healthiness. And then you have your actual physical body. So to me, when I look at the map of consciousness, when I look at shadow work, it really all is so funny. It's like a sandwich. You got your bread, you got your lettuce, your mustard, tomatoes, ketchup, meat, cheese, avocado, vegan burger, whatever you gonna have on there. It's like, the more I learn, they're all like a sandwich. Like, you're gonna eat it all. It's just, the lettuce is lettuce, tomatoes tomato, bread is bread. But when you take a bite, you're gonna eat it all. And the more I learn, it's like, okay, I'm eating it all. It's making a whole complete meal. Because when you just have a human body, to me, that's the starting point. When you start saying, let me work out, let me eat healthy, now you're expanding to your etheric body. When you start doing self-love and caring for yourself, that's the emotional body. When you say your affirmations every day and think happy thought, when you have a negative thought and you replace it with three positive thoughts, which is, I finally got there, that's your mental body, which is creating small positive thought forms. When you can look at the most evilest person in the world and have compassion for them, not for what they're doing, because wrong is wrong, but the fact that you could even stoop to that level, you know, if you hadn't put in the time to grow and learn the things that you learn, or different, like, for example, if a mother lost her child to a drunk driver, and let's just say she went and killed the drunk driver,
you can imagine how that will make you. You want to avenge your child. You know, you can understand how that person would do that. But you can also step back and say, well, two wrongs don't make a right. You know, and you can have compassion and love for that person. So just like how they say, be the bigger person. That's true. Having unconditional love for others. And unconditional means without a condition. Well, I will only love you if you're not a murderer. It's supposed to be without condition. So, giving a sense of truth and purpose. I think when people get to this level, it's when they start to give back. So I'm learning about shadow work. I can help other people learn about shadow work. Mother Teresa, so many homeless people in the world. If someone would just clothe and feed them, she'd start this whole organization. It touched millions. Da, da, da. Buddha, Jesus, everybody you could think of. When they get to that level, they're outside of themselves and they're helping the whole. You have to be selfless to do that. Because all the way at the bottom, physical body, remember, you just think about yourself. Paying my bills, eating every day, you know. It's self. So the higher up you go with these auras, you're encompassing everybody outside of yourself. So that truth and that purpose is usually when you find your calling and you started to give back to others. Celestial body, unconditional love for all creation. Again, that's that Christ mind where you, to me, veganism kind of is there because I used to grow up eating chicken. I used to grow up eating steak and hamburgers and all of that stuff. I never knew how it got on my plate. I never knew how it got in the store. I just knew one day it was an animal and one day it was here. When I actually saw documentaries on how they're caged, just like zoo animals, how they're fed and stuffed, just like turkeys, and then how they're slaughtered, they don't even have a long lifespan, they don't even get to mate. Zoos are wrong, SeaWorld is wrong, eating meat and all that stuff is wrong. And you won't think it's wrong unless that celestial body kicks in. Unconditional love for all creation. Now let me put a little caveat in there. I still kill roaches to this day. I cannot stand roaches. But you can ask anybody if it's a lizard or something like a spider. I'm like, that's good luck. Leave it alone. A lizard, I'll get a cup and plate, pick it up, and take it outside. Like, somehow they got in here. They don't want to be in here. There's nothing in here for them to eat. Just let them go outside. Roaches are the only creature that want to come inside. That no matter how many bombs you set, you try to kill them, they want to be in here chilling with you. They want to eat your food. Everything else somehow got in here and the bitch is trying to get out. So I have sympathy for everything except for roaches. And then ants too, for some reason. I had a phobia with ants. And then in my last apartment, out my patio, the ants would just climb all the way from downstairs. The person downstairs had a big ass ant bed. From downstairs up to my house, right in the fucking kitchen. So they're brilliant. They're smart. But I don't want you to come get my food. You know what I mean? So celestial body is thinking about everything, including the animals. And then the casual body is perfection in all life. I think once you reach this level, you get to go home. Like in the Bible, it said, eat not, walk with God. I think once you get all of these levels, it's like, okay, you're ready for the next existence. Or some people say that's God won't call you home until you've done everything. So sometimes I feel like good people go home before their time, maybe because they've learned all their lessons and they're just such a pure heart and they've done a lot of good here and they could be taken to another form of existence and do even more there. So I think that's when you reach like your Godhead. Maybe that's when you get like a book like Jesus and Matthew, Martin, Luther and Mother Mary and Teresa and all of these great people. They are remembered for their great work. So I think that's when you reach that particular level. Then my shadow work took me to emotions. I remember the movie, what was it called, Inside Out, with angry, happy, sad, bruh. When I tell you, me and anger is like we like BFFs. I know anger inside and out. Like, I know the feeling. I know the trigger. I know how to emit that shit. You know what I mean? But I never really sat down and was like, why is this making me mad? Like, that's what this shadow work is. Like, why did that set me off? Because if a person can control your emotions, they pretty much can control you.
And that's with family, friends, government, shit, aliens. It don't matter. Like, you have to get your emotions in check or people will be controlling you. You know what I mean? And sometimes we could say that person is vicious. No, that person has their control. You know what I mean? Like, if they kidnap your family, be like, do this, or they're gone. And some people be like, you know, if I do that, you know, you always gonna have me doing stuff. They gone already because you captured them. So they might be like, you know, they'll be in a better place. You know, and you might be like, damn, that's vicious, but they got them emotions in check. Like, I'm not gonna let you control me off of any emotion. Even love, because that will be the love of whoever they capture. So I wrote down all the emotions, and it's so funny because I found a color wheel and it broke down the emotions even more. So it started with anger, sadness, surprise, joy, love, and fear. However, those break down even more. Like, anger breaks down into rage, irritable, envy, disgust, exasperated. And you can find these on like Pinterest, Google, or whatever. Just write down emotion and feeling wheel, and it'll bring up a little wheel with the emotions, anger, sadness, surprise, joy, love, and fear. And on that wheel, it gives you more words and more words and more words, because in all actuality, everything doesn't make you angry. Let's break that down. Did that really make you annoyed? Did it make you aggravated? Did it make you jealous? You really have to break it down to know what that is. And this can also help you build up your boundaries with people, or your boundaries to protect yourself. So I mean, just again, this has just been like a sandwich for me, and I'm just so happy that I'm in a place of solitude that I can really break this down, because I've always been on go, whatever anybody ever need me to do. It could be 2 a.m. I'm going to do it. And This I don't know how many months I've been in the house, it's been all 100% about me. Like, no, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm not going there, no, it's just been me. If I want to read a book all day, I'm reading a book all day. If I want to learn about aliens, I'm learning about aliens. So I'm really in a selfish mode, and I don't know if I thought being selfish was bad, but it's the most amazing period in my life. Like, I'm about to turn 34, and 33 has been the most amazing year of my life. I've been low and high, and it really has transformed like a phoenix. Like, I always go through my changes, and I'm going to remember 33, I went through another change as well. So with this solitude, I'm able to learn more about me, and I'll be able to set more boundaries and start to be more true and authentic to myself, and not putting everybody else before me. Because I always do. I always have. Like, that's just how I've been. So I'm going to go to the next emotion. Sadness. It's suffering, sadness, disappointed, shameful, neglected, despair. And that breaks down again. And you could be depressed. Boy, have I experienced that. Sorrow, dismay, regretful, guilty, lonely, grief. It just lets you know that you're not just sad. Are you suffering for something? Did something hurt you or make you angry? I guess when we were talking about degrees on the previous podcast, 9/11, we were talking about degrees of yin and yang, of good and bad, of light and dark. There's degrees of emotion as well. So yes, you're sad, but are you on the deep end of sad that causes you to be angry, or are you on the light end of sad, which could be just regretful? You know what I mean? So there's different levels of that sadness that you could tap into as well, just to kind of learn more. And then there's surprise. It could be stunned, confused, amazed, overcome, moved, which could break down to shock, perplexed, stimulated, touched. And we have joy, enthralled, elation, enthusiastic, optimistic, proud, cheerful, happy, content, which could break down to rapture, jubilant, zeal, excited, amused, pleased. And you have love, peaceful. This is where I'm at, y'all. Peaceful, tenderness, desire, longing, affectionate, which could break down to relieved, compassionate, passion, attached, fondness, romantic. And you have fear, nervous, insecure, terror, sacred, horror, which could break down to anxious, inferior, hysterical, panic, helpless, dread. And then I wrote down about different shadows that I had inside of myself. different shadows that I saw that related with me and my grandma, with me and my mom, with me and my siblings. I wrote down my secrets on YouTube. If you type in cut, they always ask like 100, there's different cuts, but the one that I like is they ask 100 random people one question, and then you get to hear all of their answers, and they chop it up so much, and I just love it, because one person will be like, one time, and another person will be like, this guy, and another person will be like, on a chair, and it's funny how 100 different people is basically like telling one story, but sometimes they give different answers, and one of the questions were, what are your secrets, who did you last sleep with, what did you last research on your phone, what do you like in a partner? What is your favorite sex position? Just like random questions. And I was taking those questions and asking them myself. And one of them was my secrets. And then in my other book, I know it was some more questions. No, it wasn't this one. It was the other one. Let me make sure. Oh, I remember I was skipping some pages. What would be my relationship advice? Let's see. Did I get any more? My turn-ons, my celebrity crushes, red flags, relationship questions. Just like a whole bunch of, like, as I was looking at those videos, I was getting questions for me. And I was like, okay, let me write. Like, that's good. Like, what are your secrets? Let's write those down. So I could dig into those shadows as well. So that's all that I have in my book right now. It's 114 pages, 110. And I'll probably finish like the first 20. So I got a ways to go. And then I had some more. Every time you are triggered, that is a sign that you must go deep and heal yourself with love. Unless you learn to face your own shadows, you will continue to see them in others, because the world outside of you is only a reflection of the world inside of you. And I remember I was telling Sharita, like, the world is so bad, all this evil, da, 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 da. And she was like, you can't save a world until you save yourself. So that's what she's telling me, like, sit down, you know, heal all the wounds inside of you, and that's going to help the world. And I didn't get it again until I read this book, The Map of Consciousness. If you are radiating at whatever level of love and stuff, that's helping so many other people. You don't even know it, because it's the energy that you're emitting into the world. Like, everybody has a frequency. The trees outside, they're emitting a frequency. Animals and plants, gardens, they're emitting frequencies. And frequencies have different healing effects and different mental effects on people in their environment. So sometimes when you stay in those rich, rich areas and they got all the nature and the park and different stuff, they know that they're doing more for you. And they're going to charge you for that. But they don't teach us this on the low level. So if you staying in a bad area, it's trash everywhere, it's crime and stuff, you see how that energy is different? Because the energy is not giving, the things that are there aren't giving off a lot of energy. Y'all, this sandwich is deep. It goes down to... if the pictures that you have in your house, the colors that you have in your house, the clothes, the color clothes that you wear is either raising or lowering your vibration. The water that you drink, tap water has a lower vibration. Distilled water is the best. I even, disclaimer alert, I even was given urine therapy from the universe as a download. And I'm like, God, you want me to drink my piss? Like, I am not there yet, but it keep coming. Like, bruh, the guy that I was listening to, he was like, everything in the stores, everything, even the food that we get, even fruits and vegetables, my God, they poison the air. The air molecules fall in the soil. The plants are absorbing the nutrients from the soil. And then you're putting this contaminated ass water on the plant. So the plant is full of negative already, but it's still better than me. Okay. But he was like, so all of this negative that you're putting in, I didn't know the way he brought it down. And I'm going to research it more. And when I do it, I'm going to give y'all the podcast. But
he was saying your when you drink water or whatever, it goes through your heart, it goes through your kidneys, it goes through like all your intestines, blah, 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 and finally it comes out as pee. So it literally was filtered. It literally was filtered. And it has everything that you need or that you're missing in your body. So you are supposed to drink it. They don't tell us that. They don't make a whole toilet so we can flush it. Now, if anybody ever say eat poop, I'm going to draw the line there. I don't know. If it don't smell good, it can't be good. But, like if an elephant poops, you could eat their poop and survive. Because all they eat is grass. When you pick it up, it crumbles. I had cats. I was feeding them man-made cat food. And their poop was disgusting. But I found a video and the lady said if you give them raw meat, their poop won't stink and it'll crumble. So apparently, the better you eat, the better the poop supposed to be too. But I have never heard anything about eating the poop. I don't even I remember looking at this man. He needed a translator and everything. He went to this island and I forgot what he was looking for. So he was talking to the shaman. The shaman was already like cuckoo. He ain't having no clothes, y'all. And I tell you, he started to and then he had like blood on skulls and stuff. And he wanted the man to drink it. Down the man was so scared to leave, like he was like, I think we should go. He was like, no, if you leave now it's gonna insult him. This man started eating his poop. The interpreter said, oh my god, I think he's about to, and the interpreter got up and he got over there all started running. Oh my god, this man ate his. But anyways, I'm definitely gonna look more into the urine therapy and do that. But apparently it's already purified. Like, how can you be upset? It was purified through your heart, your kidneys, your intestines. It is purified water. And he said start by drinking 2 gallons, or you know, take your time because you don't want to drown. You can drown with this water, but get through 2 gallons, however long that takes, of distilled water, and then begin drinking your urine. And if you go on YouTube, Pinterest, like everywhere, you're going to see urine therapy. I didn't make this up. And it's supposed to heal you of cancer, like all this stuff, because your body, it was filtered to your body. If you gonna trust anything, you might as well trust your own body, okay? You should be able to trust your body over something in the store. It makes sense. But we just never was taught this, da, 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 whatever. It's gross, this, that, and other. You may not want to do it, but I'm going to research it more, and I am going to give that a try. And then there's this one guy, he's a breatharian. I don't think I'll ever get to that point. I really do love eating. And he says he only drinks coconut water and urine. And he's been with his girlfriend for 2 years. And we asked her, have you ever seen him eat? And she's like, no. She's like, it's kind of good because I don't have to worry about what he wants. I just cook and eat for me. And I'm glad I saw that, because that means two different people with two completely different lifestyles can make it work. He's not forcing her to not eat and she's not forcing him to eat. They just kind of make it work. And I like that. So I was getting a little nervous, like, oh my god, am I going to be able to find somebody that's going to be okay with my lifestyle? But if you want it to work, it definitely can work. So shadow work, find you some good prompts, or just sit down and write down some questions about things that you remember, and just ask yourself, how do they make you feel? Why did you feel that way? How do you feel about it now? Now that hindsight is 2020 and it's never going to end. And now that I think about it, I never was one to journal, but this is basically journaling. Like, people who have been journaling for years can go pick up an old journal book and they can reflect. They can see on that day what happened, how they felt, and they can analyze that. But since I've never done that, you know, I'm doing it now. And my sister was telling me that. She was like, I could go get my own journals and go back and remember that day. I'm like, dang. I think I like talking more. Like, I can just push record and record. Like, when I wake up and I remember my dreams, I started telling myself what it was through voice. So I do like talking more than writing. But sometimes when I feel like I can't say it right, I can write it better. So it's kind of a mixture between both of them, but let's see. Embrace your shadow. My shadow self is the part of me that recognizes negative behavior and the tendency to indulge in it. My shadow self is not the negative behavior. Your shadow holds all of your fears, mistakes, anxieties, and darkest moment. It wants everything that you were never allowed or afraid to have, even forgiveness. What is shadow work? Shadow work is a process of exploring your inner darkness or shadow self.
Shadow work uncovers every part of you that has been disowned, repressed, and rejected. It is one of the most authentic paths to enlightenment. And that's how I feel like I'm on the right path, because I've been knocking on a lot of these doors and I'm like, okay, universe, I see you. Okay, so I have one more. So you guys can go to LonaWolf.com/shadow-work-demons. I will always recommend Lona Wolf. I'm so glad that the two of them have come together and made this conscious website. Anything you could ever think of is on there. Let's see. Here's something from Monique Harvey. It's always important to do shadow work. Shadow work is understanding your darker self. Now, it's not necessarily bad traits, but you can learn how to embrace them instead of suppress them. The seven chakras. Oh my gosh. When thinking about the chakras, if you're unbalanced, it's stuff about yourself that you don't necessarily like but can change once you open up your chakras. Each chakra focuses on a different part of your body. Crystals. Each crystal has its own meaning and its own reasoning behind it. You can program crystals with your own intentions. Reading. When deciding who is going to do your reading, it's important to listen to your intuition. Meditation. If you are new to it, then start with guided meditation YouTube as a beginner. Your mind will wander. Allow your thoughts to come and go, and then it will be easier to control them during meditation. Moon water. Put water in a glass bottle. Mine is glass, and make sure it has a lid to allow it to charge under the moon during a full moon or new moon. I would not advise collect rainwater right about now with all of the chemicals and stuff that they're putting in the sky. Go ahead and get your own water, put a lid on it, and just let it sit under the sun. It can charge in the sun, it can charge in the moon. I would personally say that's the best thing to do right now, since they want to play weatherman. And last, your spiritual journey is yours alone. Don't worry if you feel like you're not doing it right, because there is no right or wrong way. So remember I said that sandwich, see how shadow work kind of blends with everything? So someone said, this is the aloof icon. I, Chris the Poet, work on your inner child, bro. Unlearn the problems you've seen or didn't see your parents go through. Love isn't suffering or a bruise. Sticking around doesn't turn into love either. So give yourself the things you wanted as a child and watch how you feel. And change. Do the work. Let's see. Your shadow self is a part of you that carries all of your traumas and negative emotions. It's the part of you that you try to keep hidden from the world and hidden from yourself. Little do you realize, connecting to and embracing your shadow self is a very crucial step in the healing process. You have to be able to admit that you potentially have negative patterns and behaviors before you can heal them. Once you can admit this, your awareness of your own behavior will become so much more apparent, and you will be able to objectively see where you are messing up. We all have negativity. It is much easier to point out the toxic trait in other people, but we also cannot forget to look inward at what we can fix as well. This is the epitome of true accountability. I love that. I think I'm gonna do this one last, because this one's long. Your trauma is valid. Even if other people have experienced worse, even if someone else who went through the same experience doesn't feel depleted by it, even if it could have been avoided, even if it happened a long time ago, even if no one knows, your trauma is real and valid, and you deserve a space to talk about it. It isn't desperate or pathetic or attention-seeking. It's self-care. It's inconceivably brave. And regardless of the magnitude of your struggle, you're allowed to take care of yourself by processing and unloading some of the pain that you carry. Your pain matters. Your experience matters. And your healing matters. And the last thing, if you want to grab a pen and a piece of paper, it says grab one more sheet. Oh, let me start from the beginning. Shadow work. This is by S-A-C-R-E-S-O-L-A-C-E. Sacri Solace Spiritual Guidance. And I downloaded the book. Or the pictures, at least. It says, let me see if I got the link at the bottom. No, I don't. Okay, it says shadow work. Get a journal, sheet of paper, and write down everything that's hurting you in your adult life. Then grab another sheet and write down every hurt you can remember from when you were younger, a child, a teenager, that hurt you and caused emotional pain and trauma. Grab one more sheet, write any heartache that shares similarities and keeps repeating in different forms. After that's done, sit with it, meditate on it. Ask yourself, why might you be repeating these cycles? Find out the theme of these situations and trace back to why this may occur and why it may be replaying out in different variations of manifestations in your life. Answer how has it hurt you, what can it teach you, and then create a new perspective around it. It's going to be painful and you're going to want to turn away, but don't. Shadow work experience. Be open, honest, and trusting. Make sure you get into detail and make sure it's a sacred time for you. Be sure to let your mind wander and let the divine talk through you as well. My past self letter. This letter is a time of healing, a time of letting go and truly forgiving yourself and others who hurt you. This is a time to be honest with yourself. How could you have handled things? What was the lesson behind your worst moments? If you cry, it's okay. Just understand why you're crying and understand that once you release the emotions, you feel more at peace than before. Higher self letter. Write a letter to your higher self. This is a time to connect and really motivate yourself. Tell your higher self how you see them. Write what you expect you to be doing at that time. Who's the person you see yourself as in the future? Fully healed, stable, rich, etc. This is a good time to manifest the life you want as well. So be very detailed and don't leave out any important information. Don't forget to tell them thank you for everything they do for you now. Release and renew. This letter, be sure to write everything you want released from negative traits to negative ass people. Be sure to write everything you want gone out of your life with love and peace. If you still feel hate, then you still haven't truly learned the lesson. Once you peacefully remove things from your life, manifest the love you want in your life that you truly want. Go into complete detail. Don't leave shit out. Write this down with confidence and faith. So I haven't got to that part yet, but I'm so excited to get to that part. And I don't think shadow work will ever end. I'm so excited that I'm learning this stuff because growing up was just a different era. And it was just a different era. So now I'll be able to give down the things that I've learned. Like, I'll give my baby a shadow book, you know, with some prompts and stuff that they can get through. I'll look up kids shadow work, I'll look up teenager shadow work, I'm gonna be that annoying ass parent, like, mom, leave me alone. Like, I'm at the store, you need something, mom, I'm good, I already went grocery shopping, you know. I'm gonna be that mom. So I'm just excited that I'm able to fill up my cup and I'll be able to pour it one day, because, you know, everybody have different life experiences and it can only give what they have, you know? So I just thank universe that I will have a lot to give. And I'm just excited about that. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode with the shadow work. I hope you start your shadow work journey. And I hope you learned something new today. If it resonates with you, that's amazing. If not, take what you could relate with and leave the rest like a buffet. It's fine. It's totally fine. The best teachers in the world will always point you back to yourself. So I'm going to, you know, don't take my word for it. Do the research. Feel like this is something you want to do. I'm going to shoot it back to you. You are in control of your life. Use your free will. Like Dame Dash will always say, I'm just here to make you think. This is something to think about. Shadow work. Like, why don't they give us this stuff in school? I just be questioning a lot of stuff. But that's about it. That's about it, y'all. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. So if no one has told you today they love you, let me be that first to say it. I love you. I hope you have a better than great day. Take care. Be safe out there. And yeah, that's it. Bye, y'all.
This before, and something about it today is just really resonating with me. Take a moment sometimes. Take a moment to recognize that where you are right now in this current place and time is where you put in work, hours, blood, sweat, and tears to be 6 months ago. Like, the person that you are today is the person that you strived to be a year ago. We get so focused on trying to be and try to become and try to improve ourselves in the spiritual community sometimes that I don't know that we always slow down to recognize that where we are today is where we've been working so hard to be as we're projecting towards next. So I just want to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for doing the work, because it's been hard in these streets. The shadow work has been real. Whatever we are doing as far as upgrading our consciousness right now, these low frequencies cannot survive. So therefore, we're having to do a lot of the shadow work, and it's coming up heavy. And if you are doing that right now, which everybody that's been engaging with me, I feel like in some level or another, another is doing it, you're making a difference for the globe. You're making a difference on a humanitarian level when you do the work for yourself. So baby, if ain't nobody applauded for you today and said thank you, I want to.
Thanks a billion for listening. You can reach me on other social media platforms at www.linktr.ee/luv.meesh. I hope you have a better than great day. Love ya. Talk to you later. Mwah. Bye. Go Mimi. It's the Misha Podcast. Hey. Go Mimi. Go Mimi.